Okay, in this study, we defined carbon flux as a balance between gain through sequestration and loss through erosion. We did not consider non-erosional losses of carbon. This work is part of a 10-year study by the USGS on carbon sequestration and erosional loss in the Mississippi River Basin. And my colleague, Elaine Markowich, has a poster on bulk density and organic carbon in the cores that we collected in coastal Louisiana, mostly in the marsh areas. The poster session is Wednesday afternoon from 4 to 6 p.m. Okay, to do the carbon inventory, we took PETON data linked to Sirgo map units and then integrated those storage estimates to the Louisiana coastal marsh vegetative type map area. That was a survey, marsh survey that was done in 1997. And then also to the Louisiana coastal area sub-provinces. The LCA delineation is part of a multi-year marsh ecosystem restoration study that was done by the Corps of Engineers. The PETON data that we used include our core data. They also include the NRCS NSSC PETON database and then alluvial soils for Louisiana compiled by Schumacher and others. The storage we calculated for standard depths. In this study, we used the 1 meter depth. We mass interpolated values to those standard depths. And when we linked the PETON data to the Sirgo map unit, we calculated component weighted mean values, corrected for rock volume, outcrop, and water, and then adjusted for the unsampled area. Okay, the dominant soil orders in southern Louisiana are shown here based on Statsco taxonomy. And in this study, the light blue are the histosols, and the medium brown are the anthosols, and those are the primary orders involved in this study. Okay, this is a storage map for the coastal parishes for which we had Sirgo data available at the time. And then we took that data and used that as the base for our flux model. The USGS core locations are shown in the white triangles, and the St. Landry back swamp location and the St. Mary fresh marsh location are noted. I'm going to talk later about profile characteristics for St. Landry when I talk about problems with age determination and errors associated with using different methods for determining ages. Again, the red and the blue lines are the areas that we developed the inventories for. The marsh areas are generally in the green shades, and storage there is 16 kilograms per square meter or greater. This red boundary is the marsh survey boundary, 1997 boundary. The blue lines are the LCA sub-province delineation. And for the balance, for the flux model, we used areas 1, 2, and 3, which are largely coincident with the Mississippi River deltaic plain. Area 4 is largely in the Chenier Plain. Okay, this is the extent of coastal Louisiana marsh in 1997. Survey area includes 36% non-marsh, and then 25% fresh, 14% intermediate, 13% brackish, 12% salt. When we calculated the storage and inventory for the marsh area, this is what we found. We've got 677 teragrams in the survey area. If you just include the marsh area only, that's 572 teragrams. There's 181 teragrams, 30% of the inventory in fresh marsh. And the storage generally increased with increasing salinity, 53 kilograms per square meter in fresh marsh up to 80 kilograms per square meter in salt marsh. Now for the carbon sequestration estimates, we used decadal rates based on cesium-137, bomb spike C14. And the rates that we obtained ranged from a mean of 240, median 265 based on cesium, and 157 and 170 based on bomb spike C14. The bias is possibly due to enrichment or depletion based on inputs, saliginous inputs, and then possibly C14 loss through metabolic pathways. Generally, the C14-based estimates gave lower estimates. Okay, and the period for this study is coincident with the LCA study that the Corps did. 1978 to 2000 is the historical period, and 2000 to 2050 is the projected period. The next slide, I'm going to talk about errors and age assignments. Okay, in this slide, we've got profiles for the St. Landry back swamp core. This is largely silt and clay with some fine sand. Profiles on the left, this is the atmospheric lead source function. It's scaled to the 1996 land surface and the 10 centimeter cesium peak. And this is the elemental lead profile for the core. These patterns are in reasonable agreement with lead deposition peaking in the mid to late 70s. The calendar years over here were assigned based on the linear scaling of the atmospheric source function. On the right, we have unsupported lead 210 data, and we used the first, the top 16 centimeters of this to estimate a linear sedimentation rate of 0.35 centimeters per year. That's in reasonable agreement with the rate based on cesium, which was 0.3 centimeters per year. And then the ages, based on lead 210, there are four green lines. Those agree fairly well with the calendar year ages based on the scaled source function. But if you look over here at the ages based on cosmogenic C14, this 5 to 23 centimeter interval has ages ranging from 720 to 220 calendar years BP, compared with 1925 to 1980 based on the source function. And then 55 centimeter depth has 2100 calendar years BP, and that compares with the late 1820s based on lead source function, 1839 based on lead 210. So it shows much older ages, and we think that the reason is probably alkalinous clay with carbon, older carbon bound to it. So this says that you have to do, you know, a fractionation before you could use these data. You'd probably get younger ages if you did that. For this study, it wasn't really an issue because we're only looking at 1978 to 2000. So cesium and bomb spike C14 were more than adequate. But if you wanted to look at sequestration over longer periods of time, decadal century scale patterns, you'd have to do something about these discrepancies. Okay, our model assumptions. We used 2000 as the base year because that was the pivotal point for the LCA restoration study. And the land loss estimates that were developed for that study based on Barris and others and folks at the Wetland Center in Lafayette calculated SOC loss from 78 to 2000, projected loss 2000 to 2050 by subprovince based on a mean storage for the year 2000. And the year 2000 storage, we took the inventory that we got for the LCA areas and divided that by the land area to come up with a storage for 2000. The sequestration we only applied to the land remaining at the end of each survey period. So for the 1978 to 2000 period, we used the year 2000 land area. For the 2000 to 2050 period, we used the estimated land remaining in 2050. So that gives us a conservative estimate. It's also conservative because we only considered the surface meter of material. And again, as I said earlier, non-erosional SOC losses are not part of the equation. And then we converted the SOC rates to MAR equivalents, mass accumulation rate equivalents, to do the balance. Okay, this is the flux model. The left third of the slide is 1978 to 2000. The right two-thirds, 2000 to 2050. The green bars are sequestration estimates. Darker shade based on cesium, lighter shade based on carbon-14. The reddish bars are the erosional loss estimates, and then the orange bars are the net fluxes. So 1978 to 2000, we estimated that we lost 75 teragrams of carbon. It was partially offset by sequestration, so we have net gain or net losses of 8 to 15 teragrams based on cesium-137, 32 to 35 teragrams based on C14. This area is projected to switch from a source to a sink sometime between 2000 and 2050. Here we estimate that we will lose 68 teragrams of carbon, more than offset by gain, so that we have a net gain of 50 to 60 based on cesium and around 20 for carbon-14. If you include the losses from Katrina and Rita in 2005, 15 teragrams of carbon were lost. That was associated with 259 square kilometers of marsh lost by those two storms. So with that scenario, we're a little bit lower, but we're still on the positive side, and then we're basically at zero using carbon-14. Okay, in conclusion, the MRDP is one of the largest reservoirs in the Mississippi River Basin. Mississippi River Basin, in an earlier study we did, we estimated 30 petagrams of storage for the basin, and that's based on PADON data linked to STATSCO. The marsh survey area, again, 677 teragrams, marsh only 572. That's about 2% of the MRB inventory. Now, if you include just the Mississippi River Deltaic Plain portion of that, we're looking at 1.3%, just under 400 teragrams of storage, but it's only 0.3% of the MRB land area, so it's an important reservoir. The storage increases with increasing salinity. Our concentration values agreed fairly well with work done by Brutbacher in a really detailed marsh transect survey in the early 70s. And our estimated rates for the marsh cores, 131 to 342 grams per square meter per year, agree with work done by Delon and others and Smith and others in Barataria Basin and Newbar and others in the Virginia tidal fresh marshes. Errors in age assignment and bulk density measures affect the mass accumulation rates. Grish and Dunbar in the early 70s estimated an annual marsh loss rate of 65 square kilometers per year. Barris and others in the LCA study of 78 to 2000, 61 to 77 square kilometers per year. We think that the MRDP is going to switch to a sink during the year 2020-50 period. And again, Katrina and Rita accounted for 259 square kilometers of marsh loss, 15 teragrams of SSC. So, thank you.
Yes? Yeah, when the carbon's lost in the marsh to be hit by hurricanes, where does it go?
Generally out into the ocean, and there's a lot of question about, you know, what cycling pathways you have once the material gets there. Some of it's entrained and runs along the coast and is redeposited. Some of it's broken down. We really didn't address that. But there are many potential pathways for that material once it's out in the ocean.
Yeah. Yeah. What's the most likely pathway?
I would say sedimentation. So I would expect that percentage of it would remain buried.
Why is it switching from a source to a sink? What's the half down from 50 to
a reduction in the loss rate, the land loss rate, carbon loss rate went from 0.5% per year during 78 to 2000 to 0.2% per year projected between 2000 and 2050. And so that, with the sequestration estimate, you know, accounts for the switchover.
And how is that distributed among the grass?
We did not do that partitioning. That is correct. And actually, some of the areas in the LCA assessment did show projected land gain, and some actually showed land gain during the historical period. But the majority of the direction, it was land loss.